everyone, and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. And I am your host, Dawn. And tonight I have my friend and co-host, and it's kind of funny because we're flip-flopping tonight, Pam. Hello, Pam.
Hi, I'm glad you remembered the name of your show.
I'm glad I didn't say the name of your show. Look, and I have to say this to kind of preface right off the bat. I'm not new to the radio thing, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the whole psychological aspect of it being like tonight's the first show of this show, it's just weird feeling. So I've signed into the chat room as the co-host. For those of you who are asking, that, you know, I don't mean to confuse anyone, but I'm so used to signing in as the co-host on your show, Pam, that I just inadvertently did it here. So it's just like, okay. But we're getting
so I
all
have
this
to say
slowly.
It, dork.
you warned me that it was coming tonight. So, you know,
yep.
That's my true initiation.
There you go. You walked right into it.
Well, I did, didn't I? And at least I opened the chat room. That's the main thing. I did open the chat room, so people can be in the chat room. Well, I want to thank you for being here, Pam, and I want to welcome all the listeners here to our show tonight. And tonight we have a guest that I'm excited to have, and I know you are, Pam, because you're a huge One Life to Live fan. And tonight our guest is best known for her portrayal of Destiny Evans on One Life to Live. She is a BET Young Stars Award nominee, as well as an NAACP Image Award nominee for Outstanding Actress in a Daytime Drama Series. We welcome Chanel Edmonds. Hello, Chanel.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, thank you for being with us tonight. It is such an honor and a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I want to start off tonight by, first of all, asking you, as I was kind of going through your bio, and I was so impressed by the things that you've done, but one of the things that intrigued me was it said that, you know, you got started as early as 4 years old into acting. What was your first acting job, and what was that like for you at such a young age?
My first acting job was a music video, I believe. I think it was actually like a young child running through the meadow in my pajamas.
No, at least
that.
It wasn't your undies.
Right. But I think, no, it wasn't as early as four. I think maybe between six and eight. Cause
okay.
I've always liked entertaining my family. We had a lot of get-togethers, and I like to, like, imitate my family members just to make them laugh and have a good time. And my mom noticed that, and I started going to acting camp, which I loved, and my first audition at the acting camp was for the main role, and I got it. I got to play Jim in the Adventure Island.
Well, that is exciting. You know, and how did it make you feel when you did land that role?
It was exciting because it was like, hey, I can do this. It was really fun.
Were you nervous at all when you auditioned, and then when you landed the part, were you nervous, or was this just something you felt like, hey, I can do this, and this is easy, and there were no nerves at all? I would be a wreck if I had to be up on stage or auditioning in front of people like that.
I mean, at first, it was a little nerve-wracking because for the audition, you have to, like, memorize certain parts of the play, and you have to memorize, like, cues and who you're talking to, and I guess for me it kind of just seemed like more playtime, and I started realizing that it came naturally, like to memorize what I have to say, who I'm saying it to, when I have to say it. It came more naturally than like memorizing a recipe to, like, make a home-cooked meal. It just came a lot easier, and it was more fun and games for me because I enjoy it so much.
Well, I have to tell you that you learned well.
Thank you.
Did you take any acting classes after that, or how did you, you know, get
yes.
to be so good?
I began studying at John Robert Powers, and I was around between 10 and 12 when I started acting school. I joined the acting troupe in Connecticut, and we put on plays. We did The Wizard of Oz. I played a munchkin. We did Winnie the Pooh's A Christmas Tale. We did, I think, not Mary Poppins, the other one. There's no place like home. There's no place like, oh, that's Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz, and, I mean, I started in musical theater because I always liked dancing as well. So the dancing and then with the music, because I can't go a day without listening to at least one piece of music, one song. And then on top of that with the acting, it kind of just helped mold me into a triple threat, and then everything just became well-rounded. And it's pretty much just a lot of fun for me. It's always been fun.
Well, I think that's awesome. And so, I mean, you've done a little bit of everything. I mean, you've performed in that, and you've been in a commercial, like you said, and videos. I mean, how in the world did you get from that to One Life to Live?
Okay. It was kind of a big jump, because most of the projects that I did before One Life to Live were more underground and, like, student films. So it was kind of like experimenting a little bit. And then when I got the call for One Life to Live, for the audition, I didn't really make that much of it, because I was like, well, I'm still in school. I'm sure there's other people that can do it as well. So I went, I did the audition. As soon as I stepped in the house, I got a call saying I got a call back. I was so excited. I started screaming and jumping like I already got this job. And then the next day, I went for the call back. Once I finished, like 45 minutes later, I got a call. My sister tells me, Chanel, you got the job. So I was hysterical. I was just so elated, so excited. I was so happy. And I started crying. And it was really funny. And it was very emotional for me, because it kind of felt like I had gotten in, you know? It kind of finalized that, yes, I get to do what I want to do for a living, and it helped. And it kind of helped validate the fact that, yes, I can act. I am an actress. It's who I am. It's what I want to do. It's everything I live, breathe, eat, drink, and sleep. So
yeah.
it really helped make that final decision that, yes, I want to be an actress, like, for real.
Mm. That's
and
wonderful.
I imagine it. I'm sorry, Pam. Go ahead.
I was just saying, that's wonderful. I love hearing
thank
those
you.
Stories.
And you know, it's just you know, it's not every day that someone goes from doing, like you said, the underground stuff to, gosh, being on One Life to Live. I mean, that had to be for you. How old were you when you first were cast for One Life to Live?
When I auditioned, I was 13. I turned 14. I started in January when I was 13. I turned 14 in April of that year. And I was 18 when the show ended, I believe. No, I was 17
wow.
when the show ended.
Well, and the reason I asked you that is because it's not every day that someone 13, 14 years old gets a call and says, hey, you've just been cast on One Life to Live. How do you feel about that? I mean, you know, that would be like a dream come true at that age, I'm sure. And
it
like
really,
you said,
it
I'm
really
sure
was. It really was a dream
I'm sure you felt like you had made it, you know, just already. And you're so young, you know, to think that you've definitely picked the right profession. I love your exuberant style of your character. I mean, it's just you played such a good role in that.
Thank you. I like to think that it was kind of like I was made for that part, because Destiny and I were kind of like one in the same. the same way she's, like, nosy and mouthy and knows how to put someone in their place, I'm pretty much the same way. And so it kind of just made me feel even more comfortable, and it made it, everything come even more natural.
Well, I want to tell you that I watched the episode you submitted for the NAACP Image Award, and that was a great episode for you to submit. I felt so sorry for you in the scene when you were talking to your grandmother slash mother about being pregnant and asking her to sign for your abortion. What were your thoughts on that scene when they first gave you the script?
Oh, my. I was like, what? Where is this coming from? Since when? I was so confused. But then again, I was really happy because it's like Destiny's not that little sweet girl anymore. It shows that, unfortunately, everyone makes a mistake. Unfortunately,
right.
That getting pregnant was her mistake, but it also shows that she's human and these things do happen.
Yeah,
and I was really glad that I was so privileged to portray that part, and it also gave me an idea of what would happen if I got pregnant. So I didn't have to try it anymore. I know what's
right. How did you do research for it, or did you?
I asked all the other actresses that have kids or have had quote-unquote kids on the show or who have done TV births, who have gone through birth. I asked my family as well. I asked my mom, I asked my grandma, and of course my grandmother probably couldn't really remember what it was like.
We never forget childbirth, let me tell you that.
I kind of just asked around. I didn't really want to do too much computer research because it's more relatable when it comes from another person, especially from another actress who has done it in real life and on screen. So it kind of gives me both sides, and then I can kind of make my own interpretation of it.
Right. Now, did it feel strange to you talking to Matthew while he was in a coma about the baby and your decision?
Literally, yes, because he was sleeping on the bed
while for real?
Taping that scene. So I was talking to someone who literally was sleeping.
Oh, my gosh.
So it kind of seemed like I was talking to myself. But, again, it was like a challenge because it took a lot of me not to, like, poke his face and wake him
right?
up. Or, like...
Answer me.
Exactly. Or even if he wasn't sleeping, he'd, like, make a noise just so, as actors and actresses, we kind of do stuff to make each other come out of our comfort zones, and it helps make the scene and our acting a lot more natural, and it makes it seem like we're having, like, an actual conversation. So it helps enhance your acting skills when someone throws a curveball at you, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, do I have to say the same thing? Do I pick up on what they're saying? And it's fun, and it helps a lot.
Did he ever sit up and go boo or something like crazy to make you laugh and you'd have to do it over?
No, he didn't. No, not that I remember. No, I don't think he ever did that before. The first time Matthew was in the bed when he was in the car accident and got into the wheelchair, after they said cut, it was lunchtime. I've never seen anyone get up out of a bed so fast and start running. It was so funny because it's like, okay, first he's paralyzed for 20 minutes, and then he goes bolting down the hallway like a Yankee, like he's in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
But it also, certain little things that other actors do or that I do to other actors, it helps us challenge ourselves to stay in character.
Right.
It helps build resistance, or it helps build our, how we follow cues and improvisation if something does go wrong or if someone says the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is a learning experience, especially in front of the camera.
Oh, good, good. Well, at least it helped you out, you know, with your acting and get you more skills that maybe you didn't necessarily have when you first started. You also, well, Destiny had been through so much at that point with finding out that her real father was Greg. And I can understand being so upset that no one told you ahead of time, like, you know, when you were much younger. How did you handle the sad scenes? Are you the type that takes those feelings home, or are you the type that leaves it on set?
At the time this was going on, I was also learning about what my teacher, Ms. Amanda, used to call unzipping from our character. So it kind of helped me when I was on screen. I'd step on the set as Destiny. I'd build up those feelings. I'd do the scene as best as I possibly could. And then after that, take a deep breath and unzip from that character and go home as Chanel. And, I mean, it would, sometimes it would have me thinking about it because at the end of the day, you think about it and there's someone out there who this has really happened to. And there's someone out there who it's going to happen to or who it has happened to. And, I mean, I think about that, but I don't really let it keep me down in the dumps. It just helps me think about how that person might have dealt with it and how my character could possibly deal with it or how many different organizations are out there to help people that go through things like that to keep from doing certain things, hurting themselves, hurting other people, or getting them back together with their families to start over again.
Right. Well, it's good that you learned how to do that, too, because a lot of people, you know, it depends how long they're having to do a sad scene where on a soap it could last for days and weeks on end. And, you know, if you end up bringing that home with you, that's going to affect your real life and those around you so much. So, you know, it's great that you learned how to leave it behind. Now, what is your most favorite memory of working on One Life to Live?
I don't have a most favorite memory, but all of it all together, just everything all together, every day, going over it every day, having to learn my lines, picking up a new script, even fan mail or just hanging out before we start taping, after we start taping, fan events, and working with some of the best actors and actresses I've ever met in my life. And
isn't that the truth?
Not even as actors and actresses, but just as people themselves. They just made the experience so much more fun and so much more worthwhile. And just everything as a whole was just a great experience that I will never, ever, ever forget.
I know, I know. I mean, they are my heart. They're part of my family, and I just miss everyone so much. But I am so glad about the reboot. And I'm wondering about your thoughts. What do you think Destiny and Matthew are up to now on the reboot of One Life to Live, or what would you like to see them doing?
I have absolutely no idea. Seeing that since it's not really a soap opera per se, it's more of a soap opera in the loose sense of the word. It's more of a dramatic, like, modern-day dramatic show now.
Right.
So they could take it anywhere they want to. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still One Life to Live, and we know where we started, but everything grows up.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to fast-forward, I think I read, somewhere like 5 years or something like that. So I would imagine there might be some flashbacks, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but I'm just glad that they're bringing it back, and that's it. I was wondering, speaking of talent on that show, I don't know anybody that doesn't love Tut Watkins. And I'm just wondering, is he as funny behind the scenes as he was on camera?
If he's not as funny, he's funnier.
Really?
Tut Watkins is just one of the best people in the entire world. I'm so grateful that I got to work with him how I did. I'm grateful that we got to build the relationship that we did. And I'm glad for whatever he's doing now. And I really hope that he continues to show the world his talent, because He is one funny man. He is one hilarious man.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting him last summer with a friend of mine. And I'm telling you, even just for a few minutes of getting his autograph and chatting with him, he had us cracking up.
Yep.
He's just, I love him. I love him. Anything that he's on. And it was funny, too, because when you would be watching him on One Life to Live, and then on Sunday, you can see him on Desperate Housewives, but yet
right.
you could see him as both characters because he's
exactly.
that talented.
Exactly.
And he played a gay guy on Desperate Housewives.
Yep.
So he's just wonderful, and I wish him much success as well. Who took you under their wing when you started on One Life to Live?
Everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody. There was no one specific person. It was just everybody. I got to, everyone kept giving me tips because, I mean, almost everybody was a part of my storyline at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came down to emotional stuff, depending on if it was giving birth or dealing with the whole family thing, dealing with Matthew, dealing with Dandy when she first came into town, everyone was able to give me a few tips as to how to portray the feelings Destiny might have or how to how to react to what was being thrown at her. And it was really just, it was kind of like being in school, but on a more fun level, because it's like you have all these different teachers who have gone through it and who have gone through the motions, basically, and they can tell you, okay, you can step on this stepping stone, but not this one, because it's a big
yeah.
And they really kind of just schooled me on how to get through it and how to do certain things, even methods for memorizing lines, memorizing cues, memorizing blocking, anything. And no matter what it was, even if we were ordering food, they told me how to talk on the phone to someone. And it was really a learning experience that I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, I spoke to Kamar Delos Reyes recently. We did an interview with him, and he was talking about learning, you know, where the light is, so you know what camera to look in. I can't imagine how hard that was to learn when you initially start.
When I first started, it kind of, I can't say threw me off, but I noticed it because it's like, it's literally a little red light going from in front of you to your left and then back in front of you and then to your right. And it's like, you notice it, but you have to stay in character not to literally turn around and stare at it.
Yeah.
Like, big flying by your face. But, when you actually realize, once you start getting used to it, like after the first maybe 2-3 weeks, I'll say a month, you start learning certain words and certain terms that the crew uses to like step into the light, so you feel the light on your face,
mm-hmm.
or you can see the camera out of the corner of your eye, so you know which camera can see you, how to stand behind someone without literally being behind that person, so that the camera can still see you, or so that the camera can't see you at all coming around the corner, and
right.
stuff like that. So it's a learning experience, and at first, it's kind of not hard to ignore, but something to train yourself with,
mm-hmm.
and then it kind of just becomes, everything just becomes second nature.
Well, that's definitely the definition of multitasking, doing all of that stuff. It's not just walking on set and reading lines. There's so much more to it. And being such a young girl to do this just shows that you're so mature and you love what you do and you really wanted to learn everything.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I was wondering, how did you learn your lines? Did you do it with somebody, or did you do it by yourself?
Whenever I picked up my script, I'd, like, read it once or twice on the train. Maybe if I really feel like I need to read it again, I'll read it once or twice at home. And then I'll go into work, go to rehearsal, write down my notes for my blocking, and then I'd go on set and perform. That's
God.
Pretty much it.
You're,
no
good. You're good.
Thank you.
I know how many pages people have to learn, and that's just amazing that you can read it one or two times and just know what you're doing at that point. Does it make it easier, like once you've been playing the character for so long, that you kind of know how they're going to write for you?
Yes. Up until I got pregnant, yes.
Yeah. That threw everything off.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Do you keep in touch with Eddie Alderson or anyone else from there?
I haven't in a while, but I see him on Facebook. I see Kristen on Twitter. And from what I can see, it seems like they're doing pretty well. And I'm a bit envious of their L.A. life. Oh, how I wish I could be in the warm weather.
Yeah, right? You and me both. Pick me up on the way from where you're at. I'm in the middle, and I'll hop the plane with you.
And I'm sitting here about to have 60 degrees for the weekend, so I know you both are like, really?
Yeah.
You can't bring that up, Pam.
Not fair at all. Well, I think I grilled her enough about One Life to Live, so I'm going to give you a chance to speak since it's your show.
Well, you know what, that's okay, because it kind of feels normal right now.
Yeah.
And Chanel, just so you know, and for the listeners who are first-time listeners to this show tonight, Pam and I do a lot of, Pam has her own show, and I co-host with her on her show a lot. So,
okay.
And this is my actual first show of this show tonight, so it's kind of, we've switched wearing hats, and so it's just kind of weird for me because I'm hosting, she's co-hosting, but anyway, she really is a huge One Life to Live fan. I said, have at it.
Yeah.
So, but I want to talk to you a little bit about your upcoming projects now. Am I correct in saying that you have a movie that's going to be coming out pretty soon?
Yes, Gun Hill. I believe it's supposed to be coming out later this summer, if I'm not mistaken, on BET. But I'm not too sure about that. But I'll keep an eye open for it and let you guys know.
Sure. And are you able to kind of give a little bit of an idea to the listening audience what the movie is about? Are you able to talk about that at all?
Yes. The movie is about a brother who, I believe, gets shot wrongly. Shot wrongly? That didn't make sense.
We were going to let that slide, so.
He was killed for basically no reason, but then later in the movie you come to find out that they're twin brothers, and then the twin takes the place of one of the twins, and honestly, the movie is kind of a whole rigmarole, and if you really pay attention, you get it. And then all of a sudden, you see her pop up, and it's pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. That is cool. And so what role do you play in the movie?
I play a supporting role. My character gets involved with someone a bit shady, and, to say the least, nothing very good comes out of it. That's as much as I can say.
Well, that's okay. Definitely not destiny.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, we would not want you to give anything away because we don't want to spoil it for anyone who will be watching that later on. And so now I want to know, I understand you're very, very passionate about music and dance. Do you sing at all?
I do, not too much, but if you catch me just bobbing to some music, I can guarantee you I'm going to start singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like a music box.
What is your favorite music?
Ooh, I don't really have a favorite, but I love pretty much all types of music. I love Alicia Keys, John Legend, I love reggae music, any type of Caribbean music. I love my mom's side of the family is from the Caribbean. Masha Montano, Destra, any Trinidadian artist, Dominican artist, Jamaican artist, anywhere. I just, as long as it's something I can tap my foot to, I'm good.
Well, that is awesome. Are you taking singing lessons or dancing lessons or anything like that?
I used to take dancing lessons in Connecticut. I don't anymore, but if I'm around the house, I'm doing a jig or two every once in a while. I like to watch music videos, and after one or two times watching it, I realize that I'm actually doing the choreography that's in the video. So that kind of comes the same as memorizing lines for a script, for a show or a play or anything. And it's like the same way for me, memorizing lines is kind of just one, two, and done. For dancing, it's like pretty much just muscle memory. It's just watch it once or twice, try it out, mess up, do it again, and I'm good.
Well, I read that you like cooking. What do you like to cook? What's your favorite dish?
Favorite dish? I don't really have one, but as long as it's edible, I like it. I like cooking some Caribbean dishes. I like fish, chicken. I'm still learning how to move around the kitchen now, and I'm not quite at the improvising stage yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I can kind of almost look away from the recipe for like one thing, maybe to mix. But other than that, my face has to be in the recipe.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, if you could work with anyone in the industry, who would you want to work with?
Okay, get ready for this. Angela Bassett, Johnny Depp, Idris Elba, Halle Berry, Queen Latifah, you can stop me anytime.
I can definitely see why you'd pick all of them.
Oh, my gosh. Kimberly Elise, Tyler Perry, Kathy Davis, Lance Gross, Lorenz Tate again, Bradley Cooper, Anne Hathaway, Amanda Seyfried, Matt Damon. Oh, yes, Matt Damon. I can keep going, but we'll be on the phone all night.
Well, you know what? That's such an impressive list, and you are so talented. You know, and I'm sure Pam would probably agree with me. I think I could see you acting with any one of those on the big screen. I really believe that we're going to see you there one day, and you're going to be in a big major motion picture, and there's going to be Chanel Edmonds, you know, right up there with, you know, Angela Bassett and Queen Latifah and whoever else, you know. And I look forward to that. I really do.
Thank
I would love to see you with Tyler Perry. I would love to see you in one of his movies.
Thank you. I mean, hey, if you can get a number for him, I'd be
glad
to.
Yeah, I think that would be a great pairing, Tyler Perry and Chanel. And, you know, because I love his movies. And Pam's always accusing me of never watching movies or anything, but I have seen
his movies.
And those are some of the best, funniest movies. I love, love, love Tyler Perry. So that was a great choice.
I think they should make you like a mini Madea, you know, and you go hang with her in a movie, you know, and get into trouble. Oh, my gosh, that would be so funny.
You know what I think would be great is if they could cast you, Chanel, in a mini Madea role, like Madea when she was young, and
right.
You play that role. And
flashbacks,
you know,
and that.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, flashbacks. I think it would be phenomenal. I mean, I could just see you doing that right now.
Oh, I'd love to do that. And just let me know when and where. I'll be there.
Well, we'll try to get this interview to him and have him listen to it and let him know that not only do you want to do it, we want to see you do it.
That's right. That's right.
I'm thinking
there's lots of people in the listening audience out there who definitely want that as well. And so are you currently working on anything else besides the movie that is in post-production right now?
At the moment, no. I'm just focusing on college for now.
Sorry about that. Oh, it's okay. What are you studying?
At the moment, just liberal arts. I'm not too sure which path I'd like to take yet, But when I find out, I'll definitely let everybody know.
Well, I think it's awesome, you know, and because, you know, you probably will never have to use your college degree because you're going to be a famous actress, and you had such a great foundation with One Life to Live and your earliest experience. So, but that's always a great thing to have, too, I think. It's such a sense of accomplishment in a different way.
Thank you.
So what are some things, you know, if you were not pursuing acting, what would you, you know, what do you think you would be doing instead?
I like psychology a lot. I've realized over the years that I'm very analytical. I like to read between the lines, or I like to follow my mom's footsteps and study business or business management.
Very good, very good. And but you know what? I'm so glad you pursued acting because you are such a great actress, and you know, I think you've got a great career ahead of you, and it's like I said, I think I could see you on the big screen with lots of actors and actresses, and I think we will. I don't have any doubt there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, if you've got time, we've got a couple calls on hold that would like to speak with you.
Sure.
All right. Our first call is Brian from Georgia. Brian, you're on with Chanel. Go ahead.
Hey, Chanel.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing good. I don't know if you remember or not. You told me happy birthday last year on Twitter. My name is Brian, OLTL fan.
Yes, I remember. I think you remember that.
And I'm also on your buddy list on Facebook.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I wanted to thank you for telling me happy birthday last year. That, you know, that was real nice of you, everything. My question for you that I wanted to ask you about, I don't really know if you know or not, but I was wondering, do you know if Kristen Alderson is going to be able to stay with General Hospital, or if she's going to have to go back to One Life to Live, or do you know anything out of that?
I honestly have no idea, but if she finds out a way to do both, more power to her.
Okay. I just wanted to see. And have you been doing since One Life to Live ended?
I'm pretty good, just going one day at a time. With the nominations, with the BET nomination and the NAACP nomination, it kind of helped to keep me busy, and it helped to keep me, to help keep me putting my name out there so that if someone, Tyler Perry, does realize
yeah.
that I'm still out there, you know, I'm not quite under the radar yet.
Well, that's great, and I want to say hello to you again, Pam. I haven't talked to you, and I don't know when.
Yeah. Hello, Brian. It's good to hear from you.
good to hear from you, too. And I hope y'all have a blessed night. And it was good talking to you, Chanel.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling, Brian.
You're welcome.
All right. Our next call on hold is David. David, say hello to Chanel.
Hi, Chanel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to tell you that I miss you on the air.
Oh, thank you.
And I got to tell you, you were simply wonderful telling in that scene with Eddie where you're telling him off about stepping up for the baby.
Oh, thank you.
That was awesome. So my question to you is, what was your most embarrassing moment on One Life to Live?
That's so hard. I don't think I was ever really embarrassed as much as happy that I wasn't ridiculed about embarrassing myself, quote unquote, if that makes sense. I think, okay, One thing I can say, the episode when Jack is when Jack throws the quarter at me and I got to throw the pitcher of water at them, there was a big chunk of ice in the water, and it broke the two martini glasses. I was like, oh, no, what did I do? They're broken. My immediate reaction was to go clean up my mess, but then everybody in the crew was like, no, no, don't touch it, don't touch it. So I was like, okay, okay.
That's awesome. I think I can just remember that. Okay. I want to thank you for talking to me, and I wish you well in your studies.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling and for watching.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Pam and Dawn.
You're welcome.
Thank you, David. Well, Chanel, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. It has been a blast, and you are just a sweetheart, and I'm so, so excited for what you have coming up, and, you know, you've got a great future ahead, as I said, and I just can't wait to see more of you on screen.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me tonight. I had a great time with you as well.
Thank you. Pam?
And that goes for me, too. I can't wait to see you back on screen.
Okay, thank you. If anything comes up, I'll be sure to let you guys know.
Please do.
Oh, please do. We would love to know about it so we can promote it out on your behalf.
Yeah, thank and the next time you can come on my show and talk about your new stuff.
Cool.
That's right.
You get double Pam and double Dawn. How's that?
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right. Well, best of luck in your studies, and good luck, and try to stay warm there in Connecticut, and thank you again for being our guest tonight. We certainly appreciate it. It's such a treat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, she's so sweet.
You know it.
I so enjoyed that. I really did. She is a sweetheart, and of course, I'm so glad you were here tonight to talk about One Life to Live. I'm sure the listening audience who are One Life to Live fans really got a kick out of her being on the show tonight. It's been a real blast.
Oh, I know. I did. It's like walking down memory lane. So. And I had to ask that question about Tuck Watkins because he is a hoot and a half. So I had a feeling that he'd be doing goofy things on set, too.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you asked those questions because, you know, it's interesting that she said that, you know, One Life to Live is not really going to be like the true soap it was. It'll be something different now, but it'll be more drama-related. And I do wonder, you know, what All My Children and One Life to Live will be like now that they're moving to the web. Because, you know, on the web, you don't have the boundaries you do on television. So
right.
It's going to be interesting to see, you know, the scripting and things, how that's going to all play out. You know, like, for example, the language, you know, on television,
mm-hmm.
you're limited in what you can say. I wonder how that'll be, you know, on the Internet now. You know, which may, in the grand scheme of things, in certain, you know, scenes where things are really heightened drama-wise, you know, if there's cursing flying, you know, that'll make it seem a lot more realistic in a lot of ways, you know. But at the same time, it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with that. But I think it's going to be very, very good. And again, I've said it to you before, Pam, and I'll say it again. I'm very, very happy for all the One Life to Live and All My Children fans out there who have their soaps back, you know, and not just have the soaps back, but to have the characters that you grew to love, the original characters back as well. And, you know, that is there a particular, you know, date that they're promoting in which you're going to be able to start seeing it air? Is that coming in the near future? Have you heard?
No, I haven't. I just think I heard something about April, but I'm not positive what the date
yeah.
is. But I am working on something for my show, and
oh, yeah?
I'm just I'm just going to tease everybody with that. Don doesn't even know yet because it's good news and it's new it's that new, and I'm not going to say a word other than that until it's written in stone, and you know how that goes, Don.
Oh yeah, I'm starting to figure that out. Yes, I mean, I knew it before, but now that I'm doing my own show, it's a lot, you know, it's kind of a completely different animal because, I don't know, it's just different. You know, it's different from doing an indie music show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so now I can never again say yada, 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 yada,
right.
Because now I know. But, yeah, I completely understand. I totally have grasped this, so, you know, I'll never give you a hard time about it again.
And I'm not normally a person that says I told you so, but when it comes to this, when I try to explain over and over to you,
and I wasn't grasping
it, but
now I grasped it. Yes, and you can call me a dork on top of all that. I will not be offended, trust me. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for our shows, and since, you know, we always do this, why don't you tell the listeners about your shows? Because I'm sure, you know, we've got some new listeners to my show tonight that maybe have never tuned into your show before, but it would be a great opportunity to let them know about your show.
Thank you, ma'am.
My
show is called Take Two Radio, and I've been on air since November 10th of 2012. And we have interviewed, when I say we, that's Dawn and I, as well as sometimes with David and sometimes with Sabina. We have interviewed people from the entertainment industry, including from the soaps. And you can check out who our upcoming guests are or listen to previous podcasts if you didn't get to hear the show live on take2radio.com. Which thankfully Dawn keeps track of and keeps it up to date because I have no clue how to do that technical stuff. And that's Take Two with the number two, so take2radio.com. And that's it. I don't know what else you want me to tell them.
Well, you know, you've done a great job. The only thing you left out, which I think is pretty important to let the listeners know, is that, you know, I have to give Pam major, major kudos and applause and a standing ovation even, because she's only been on the air, you know, it's not even been 4 months, and she's almost at 950,000 listeners. I mean, that is unheard of, folks. And she's had some phenomenal guests on her show, a lot of people from daytime, but she's had some people from primetime, some big A-list names. And, you know, and of course, none of that could have happened without the listening audience. And,
exactly.
And so, I mean, they are the whole reason why she's had that many listeners in such a short period of time, and the fact of who you've brought to your show, which has just been absolutely phenomenal. And I've learned so much from just co-hosting with you. And you know, it kind of inspired me to start this, but my whole concept behind it was thinking, well, you know, since we're doing all this collaboration, it would be great to have two shows where we can bring all kinds of people in two different ways to the listening audience so that, you know, they can get more bang for their buck, as they say.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, really, I'm excited about this, although tonight it was weird because I kept thinking you're supposed to be cueing me and I'm the co-host, you're the host, but that's not it. It's going to take a little bit for me to get used to the fact that this is my show we're on tonight.
Exactly. But you will.
But anyway. Oh, yeah, it won't take any time. But yeah, so you have a great show. And who do you have coming up in the very near future?
Well, tomorrow I have, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, I have Novell Lee, who is also known as Buzzworthy Radio. Hello.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So we're going to be
following him.
Yeah, I told him that first I'm going to grill him, and he said, like, grilled cheese. I'm like, I'm going to get some tomato soup to go with that, too. So we're just goofing back and forth. But I'm going to talk to him about his career. It's not going to just be a soap show. We're going to talk about soaps as well. But I want to interview him because he's so good at what he does, mm-hmm. and I'd like to find out how he got his start and such, you know. And he is an actor. A lot of people may not know that, but he is also an actor. So we're going to interview him. It's going to be a little different.
It'll be a fun interview because I love reading his tweets on.
I know.
And, you know, following him on social media, he is a hoot. And his commentary, you can always tell when he's watching certain shows because he's commenting while the show's going on, and it's hilarious. And,
yep.
It's just, I love watching, you know, following him. So I really feel like tomorrow night is going to be all the rage. When it comes to this, he is going to be wide open. You can bank that. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. But my next big show is coming up on Saturday. And I'm kind of taking Pam's time slot. I feel like we're doing your show, but it's really my show. But Saturday, for those of you who may have missed last week, Texas Saddle from The Bold and the Beautiful is going to be on 5 p.m. Eastern on my show here. And he was on with Pam last week. I co-hosted with her. He was gracious enough to agree to come and be on the show, my show this week. So it's like Saturdays with Texas. My gosh, last week was so much fun. And I think this week's just kind of going to be a continuation. I really wanted to tell that story again. Don't you, Pam?
Oh, definitely.
I think we're going to have to get him to do a rerun. And I'm not going to share that because if he does share it again, the listeners will be in for a real treat. It is a absolute hoot. I loved hearing him talk about it. And he was so animated. It was hilarious. So yeah, that's coming up on Saturday night, and I'll throw a teaser out. I get to throw out my first teaser. This is so cool. We are going to have a surprise guest, and I'm not going to say who it is, but we're going to have a surprise guest who will be stopping by. So you'll want to tune in. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, and I'm excited. Aren't you excited? Pam knows, but Pam's not telling.
No, I'm not.
So it'll be a great show. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And so did you have anything else you want to add or talk about?
Well, Sunday, Dawn and I will be in cahoots on my show as well.
How could we forget Sunday? Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm not forgetting because, as a matter of fact, I'm speaking with Vicki Van right now, one of the winners. Yeah, and Sunday is a special show. Recently, if you saw our tweets, there was Indie Music Awards for Take Two Radio. Well, there was nominations, and the fans had to vote on best, favorite female singer and favorite male and favorite band of the year and so on and so forth. So they did that. We got the winners, and we're going to interview the winners. It's only going to be about 15, 20 minutes each winner. And we'll also play one of their songs. And we do have winners that will be calling in from the UK. And then we have some across the United States as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be at 2 p.m. Eastern time on Take Two Radio. So I hope you'll join us because that should be a fun show. And you will get to meet another new co-host. Another new co-host that I have. But he's only going to be doing like 2 to 3 shows a month. He is a DJ / show co-host or show host for his own music show where he plays indie music. So he's been supporting indie music for many, many years. And his name is Mike Lidskin. So he had 2 shows. Now he's down to 1. And I said, well, their loss, my gain. How would you like to do a show with me once in a while? And he said yes. So we're definitely going to be doing a few shows with him this month.
Well, I'm really excited about all the shows that we're doing because we have some great shows lined up. And, of course, you have shows lined up I haven't even heard about yet. So I'm all the more excited. But... but Pam and I were in partnership. You know, we love what we do, and we love bringing you know the guests to you guys and sharing them with you and giving you that chance to call in and be up close and personal with them, because you don't get to do this any other place, I don't think. You know, you can chat and hope that they respond to your tweet on Twitter and Facebook and that sort of thing, but this is a completely different medium, and if you have a favorite guest, you know, this is a way to talk to them if you've always wanted to talk with them. So, you know, don't be shy. Please call. We always like that. So we welcome that.
Definitely. And I want to say congratulations on your first show.
Yeah,
and we need
now
to find an applause thing to upload because here. Do you hear me clapping?
Yeah,
applause.
I really like that. Thank you. Well, and for those of you now, I have another show which plays indie music, and I do interviews with indie artists. It's called Jam Jukebox, for those of you who follow me there. But I have a new Twitter for this and a website separate from that for this show. The Twitter for the show, which is called Behind the Mic Radio, is BT Mic, that's M-I-C, Radio. And the website is BehindTheMicRadio.com. And so, you know, and also we have a Facebook page with the same name. So, you know, just check us out, follow us. Twitter's new, so definitely follow us, if you will, to stay up on all the people that we have coming. And I have guests lined up already, and Pam has guests lined up out the yin yang, it seems like.
Yeah, and I have a music show too.
That's right.
What's going on here?
Well, it's called Spreading Our Wings and Spreading Our Territory, so that we can try to cover as much ground and let as many people know about us, and give them the opportunity to hear the music that we play, and also to tune in to their favorite celeb. So it's kind of double teaming, but in a good way.
Exactly. So, my music show is Take Two Radio Music, and I've been playing music every day at 3 p.m. Eastern time from different indie artists, and thank you, Dawn, for all the music you've given me for that, too. But I think I'm going to start doing things a little bit differently in the next couple weeks. I'm going to start playing music on Mondays and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern for an hour, but I think on Fridays I'm going to start interviewing some indie artists. How's that sound?
All right. Yay! I'll applaud you. We really need the applause button now. I think that's exciting, and I think that you will be glad that you did. You know, I actually had my indie show tonight before this one, and, I mean, it's so inspiring to listen to those artists to tell their stories of where they came from and where they are and how they got to where they are and ended up in music, and everyone has a different story. No two are alike, and it's always fascinating, you know. And so it's really, you know, I love doing the indie artist interviews because, you know, they're out there pounding the pavement and working so hard, and they're not making any money at what they do. I mean, they don't do it for the money, that's for sure.
No, they do it for the love of music,
that's right.
For sure.
And it is, they put out such a great product, you know, that we all get to enjoy and benefit from. So, you know, that's why I'm such a big advocate on supporting the indie artist every turn. So,
you know it.
So congratulations to you on your new show as well. And I'm excited to hear you're going to start interviewing. That's awesome. You'll enjoy that.
We'll see. No, I know I will.
You will. No doubt about it. Well, that is going to wrap up our show, this first show of Behind the Mic Radio, the first of many to come. So we really appreciate you tuning in and listening to us tonight. And thank you, Pam, for being here to help me kick off our first
show welcome.
Here.
And thank you for having me.
Well,
if you would
I'm
have picked someone
here.
Else, I would have been sending you rotten eggs in the mail.
Well, there's no worry of that. No worry at all. I can't imagine anyone else doing that with me. So I'm very thankful that you were on with me tonight. So thank you so much. And for all
You're
those
welcome.
In the chat room, you know, Michelle and David, I want to give a shout out to you guys and to our guests, thank you so very much for being a part of what we do here. And if you're brand new to the show, welcome aboard. We hope it will not be your last time. And we certainly look forward to bringing more of the same to you as time unfolds. And so with that, enjoy your Friday. The weekend's coming. And Pam, I hope that you're able to dig out of all that snow and get out this weekend and enjoy a little bit of fresh air and sunshine.
We'll see. We'll see. They're saying it, but I'm not going to believe it till I see it. So,
yeah, it remains to be seen. Well, if you'll send me snow, I'll send you sunshine. How about that? We'll trade off.
That's
a
deal.
We can collaborate in that way too.
That's a deal.
All right. Well, have a great night, and have a great night all, and a great Friday and a good weekend. And we'll be right back here Saturday evening, 5 p.m. Eastern, with Texas Saddle and a special surprise guest. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend, and good night.
Good night.
Good night, Pam.